You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. That was Great No One by The Beths. The government recently announced increases to visa application fees across several groups, in some cases more than doubling the cost to applicants. These changes are due to increased revenue for Immigration NZ and are said to make the organisation 100% self-sufficient. Additionally, yesterday, the New Zealand Police Association released an open letter to the government calling out their exclusion from discussion around firearms legislation reform. The letter spoke to the necessity of existing legislation and criticised the involvement of former and present gun lobbyists in the process, including the Minister in Charge, Nicole McKee. According to the ACT Party website, McKee was formerly the spokesperson for the Council of Licensed Firearms Owners, a gun lobbyist group. In our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Katie Nimmin, I asked about the changes to visa application fees and the involvement of police and gun lobbyists in firearms legislation reform. This morning, we'll be starting with the visa fee changes. What's the issue that these changes are trying to address?
Well, look, we need an immigration system that's efficient, and it's got to be self-funding and it's got to be sustainable. So, you know, we look at that in a similar way to the way we look at ACC, which has made ACC really resilient during times of austerity in government. And I think, you know, that's the importance for our immigration system as well. It really shouldn't cost New Zealanders, you know, additional to sort of grow that workforce, that supporting workforce. So, you know, we've had a heavily subsidised system by taxpayers until recently, and it's not conducive to this government's priority to deliver the effective and fiscally sustainable services that we need for the public. So, you know, obviously appreciate those that are using and benefiting and, you know, creating risks in the immigration system cover the cost of running it. So that's the appropriate way of doing that.
There's active discussions around the revenue from these potential changes, apparently four times as much as Immigration NZ currently spends annually. Is there a reason for this?
Yeah, well, look, you know, I think the costs involved at the moment, you know, let's just talk about the fact that we've got to reduce the burden on taxpayers, free up more than $563 million over the next 4 years. So, you know, it's not a cheap system. But of course, you know, there are costs involved with processing, and you know, we're wanting people to be processed with visas faster, and that costs more as well. So, you know, we want to make sure that is a fair system.
And should we expect that money to be all reinvested in improving immigration services?
Yeah, look, and that's the intention. Of course, there's always outside factors, but you know, it is targeted levies. So it's all focused on cost recovery. And I think, you know, thinking about the fact that, you know, there's additional supporting aspects of it with an MB that have to be considered as well. But, you know, the level of service, and I think that's more worth discussing, is the fact that these new visa charges are shifting the cost from the taxpayer, those using the system. That's to cover the costs associated with those using the system. You know, there's obviously strategic importance of making sure that, you know, we aren't burdening those that aren't, you know, taking the risk but aren't getting the benefit.
All right. Moving on to firearms law reform, what's the rationale around reforming our firearms legislation?
Well, look, you know, we need to make sure that we're doing things the right way. And I think it was made very clear by our party last year campaigning for the election that until very recently, well, until now, those that are using firearms legally and doing all the right things are still being treated like criminals. You know, there's been no consultation with licensed firearm owners. Things have been done for them, and look, it's an extra burden on the police system, and probably something better suited to the justice system. And so it's what we've been talking about for some time. We know we've needed to review and reform that, you know, and we want to make sure that everybody has their say.
The New Zealand Police Association released an open letter yesterday to the Prime Minister calling out their exclusion from the discussion process around firearms legislation reform. Do you think the exclusion of police officers in this process was an intentional decision?
Well, look, they're not excluded. You know, all New Zealanders, including the Police Association, will have their say during the Select Committee stage for the Part 6 changes. And that is the same for every single law change not everybody is at the table with the, you know, with the minister developing the policy. You know, and if you do that sometimes, and I'm not to say that I can't speak for the minister on this, but, you know, as with every law, you can't have everybody around that decision-making table. You have them as part of that select committee process, scrutinising the bill, talking to the select committee members about why things need to be different, if they need to be different. And so we welcome the input of Mr Cahill, obviously, or the, you know, anyone else from the Police Association when that process begins. And the police have been involved in the consultation and been given extensive feedback at every stage. And I think that's really important to make clear. It is not that the police aren't involved. It's just that the police association are expected to be involved during the public consultation process.
Right. As outlined in the letter, the New Zealand Police Association had called for firearms legislation for several years, and now, just 1 year into the establishment of the firearms registry, the government seems to be reconsidering it. What's the rationale there?
Well, look, you know, I think the most important thing to note is that what's out there is just not working. You know, and we've talked about this for a really long time. You know, it's a 40-year-old Arms Act. And it needs to be fit for purpose for New Zealanders today and into the future. So we need to modernise the Act, and it's got to be fit for public safety and the best regulatory practice. And, you know, obviously this review is phase four, and it's all part of the plan to reform the firearms, but it's just important that, you know, we need to do things that work for us as Kiwis now. And we've heard from so many people who interact with our firearm laws, and they're complex, they're difficult to understand, and they're hard to comply with. And as we've seen, those that have no intention of complying with it avoid the system altogether, and those that do the right thing find it so complicated. And look, it's been in place for 40 years, and it's been amended several times, but it's time that we do some bigger reformation work.
The letter also asserts that the firearms registry is only 20% developed at the moment, so assessing its effectiveness is a, quote, pointless waste of time and money, unquote. Does the government agree with this sentiment?
Oh, look, I can't speak on behalf of the minister, you know, and I'm sure that she'll, you know, make her views very clear over time. But, we, you know, that's all going to be part of the review and the reform, no doubt, if that's correct. But, you know, as I say, we've got phase one, phase two, phase three. So we've introduced the firearm prohibition orders, and that was in our first 100 days, just to strengthen the firearms prohibition orders and provide greater powers to search gang members for firearms. So that was phase one. Phase two was a package of proposals out for consultation around, you know, making regulations for gun clubs more simple and effective. The phase three, in talking about this firearm registry, is reviewing it and transferring firearm safety authority from police to other government, another government department, which at this stage I believe is the justice sector. And so, you know, that work is already underway to review that registry. And, you know, I think the most important thing to consider is the views that we've had from the public is that it's just, you know, it's complicated, it's not necessarily been done right. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work how it is, you know, so there's got to be a lot of work done on that, and that is all part of the phase that's underway at the moment.
Lastly, the letter claims that the government has been taking the majority of their advice from gun lobbyist groups. Is this a claim that the government is taking seriously, and should gun lobbyist groups have a significant say in firearms legislation?
Look, I think, you know, there is nothing stopping anyone from participating in this public process. You know, you could have any member of the public, no matter what their role or background, submitting and being consulted as part of government legislation change at any stage. You know, and so I think we've got to consider who are the experts. And there's nothing stopping an expert from advocating or lobbying for change. And that is standard practice, has been for a very long time. You know, it's at the minister's discretion as to what advice they take and consider. And we'd be absolutely naive to look a gift horse in the mouth, so to speak, when there is expert advice out there. So, look, I can't speak to this exact situation, but, you know, these people in every area of government are experts in many ways, you know, and just like the minister, she's got a background in firearm safety and the qualifications to match, and it positions her as the best person to address firearm reforms. Of course, she's going to be the advocate for it as well because of her experience, and so those things are what I would probably say synergistic.
There are concerns about the minister herself, Nicole McKee, for her previous engagement with gun lobbyist groups and her opposition to previous calls for reform. Is the government worried that there could be a conflict of interest there?
No, look, the government believes that, you know, she's got the best expertise to help provide positive outcomes, and that's really important. Like I said, you know, she's got the qualifications and her position is really putting her in the best place to address the firearm reforms, you know, and that's really important. We need ministers with expertise. You look at Minister Mark Mitchell, having formerly been a police officer, a dog handler, you know, he has got the expertise to really see what things are like for the person that is affected and impacted, and I think that same goes for Nicole McKee.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about increased visa application fees and firearms legislation reform.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.